Good morning. Welcome to the International Connection. We are in show number 34 in the series on mind control, and today we're going to hear part two of a presentation, The Secret History of Mind Control, given by Walter Boart at the Ritual Trauma, Child Abuse, and Mind Control Conference in Atlanta in October earlier this year. Walter Boart is an investigative journalist and the author of one of the original books about mind control in the late 70s, Operation Mind Control. In this presentation, which included slides, Walter talks about the many dimensions of CIA and government mind control, including energy wave devices, remote viewing, and post-quantum cognitive science. You're listening to CKLN 88.1.
The CIA documents tell the 1954 project to create an involuntary assassin. Now, that was in the 70s that was published, you know. That's one of the English editions of Operation Mind Control as it looked. That one's worth $650 on the used book market. This is The Mind Manipulators by Alan Shefflin that came out a year later. Journey into Madness, Gordon Thomas I think he's Irish, and he's like kind of believes like an Irishman. He says, like, why mess up a good story with the truth, you know? And so he takes wild flights of, you know, probably untrue things. But he does cover Ewing Cameron's experiments in Canada very well, and it's good for that. And of course, as a result of Ewing Cameron's experiments, they paid off pretty heavy to the families up there, because that's a little different than the federal trial. See, Cameron, these people weren't in our government, and Cameron was working under the payroll of the CIA for a long time, and he was doing these experiments for the CIA. Cameron, at the same time, was the president of the American Psychiatric Association, American Psychological Association, and he was the head shrink for the Nuremberg trial. So you can see what direction this psychiatry. That's probably why psychiatry stopped dead in the water. That's probably why it doesn't work, I mean, what they're trying to do. And of course, it was useless. We just spent 50 years and how many millions and billions of dollars, and we didn't come up with anything, they claim. That's a 1977 article, the year before Operation Mind Control came out. So, you know, I mean, I didn't believe that. For some reason, I just didn't believe that. And this, you've seen JFK, right? And what's his name playing the guy, little guy, David Ferry? This is really David Ferry. This is the way he looked, and the actor did a fantastic job duplicating him. David Ferry was a hypnotist. He was a pilot for the CIA, and he was a hypnotist. And he was probably the guy that was the handler, on-the-scene handler for Lee Harvey Oswald, who was probably just a patsy. He said he was a patsy, and we ran a PSE on his statement, and it appeared to be true, and believe it or not, stress-free. So he looks like just a patsy. But David Ferry, He had false eyebrows and a wig and things. Strange dude. This is Joe, another victim of mind control. Obviously, he was programmed. He was a white Russian. George D. Morenschild is his name, and he was a friend of Lee Harvey Oswald, Marina Oswald's, and a friend of mine, Edward Epstein, was interviewing him for Time magazine or something. And they took a break for lunch. During lunch, he got a phone call, and I think he said, what was the phrase here? He said, the only word he said was, I understand. And his niece or something told us that. Told Eddie that, and then a couple years later, I met her and interviewed her. And she believed he was programmed. And then he took a gun and killed himself shortly. He hung up the phone. I understand. Click. Bang, just like the Manchurian candidate. So his family believes that's what happened. Anyway, Eddie Epstein, you know kind of, that's Luis Angel Castillo, an attempted assassin of Fernando Marcos in the Philippines, who was arrested by the Philippine National Bureau of Investigation, equivalent of the FBI, Philippine FBI. They called in, unlike in the United States of America, when nobody believes this can happen, those guys called in a hypnotist and began to deprogram this guy. They formed found four different identities, and when he was in custody, he had 40 hypnotic sessions from April 3rd to June 25th, 1967. He displayed four distinct personalities. He was put into a trance and given an empty pistol. In the first personality, he would follow whoever was talking with the pistol, pulling the trigger over and over. In the second personality, he would aim only at the picture of Marcos and pull the trigger over and over. When in the third personality, he would fall off the table. They had him sitting up on a high table. He would fall off the table to the floor and remain motionless. The report said that in the last state, quote, a pathetic sight takes place. The subject turns his pistol to his own temple and squeezes the trigger as many times as his name is repeated. Okay? And notice his clothes. He's got the, you know, this little sweater kind of thing. And then notice his haircut and the general look. Sweater, same thing, right after Sirhan was arrested. Same kind of thing. The interesting thing is that they both had diaries. They both left underlinings. They were both repeated things and kind of chanted their program. They both predicted before the crime that they were going to do this, you know. So, you know, that's Sirhan. I had some other pictures of Sirhan. Okay. But it's uncanny. It's the same type. Now, Sirhan is Arab, and he's the other guy is Spanish, some sort of Hispanic background, but they looked enough like to be brothers. Castillo believed that a guy that sounds like Alan Dulles was his father. You know, I mean, it's like you find this in the programming. These sadistic jokes are played, and you know. And Sirhan, as you know, was programmed to kill Robert Kennedy, and did apparently, shot at him, or was in the room anyway. And when in custody, he was visited by Dr. Sidney Diamond, shown here, who's hired by the defense, and Diamond's an expert in hypnosis and defense. And he immediately... Bernard Diamond. Yes. And thank you. And who's Sidney? Yeah, Bernard, change it. Anyway, he thought immediately that Sirhan had been programmed by the way he responded to hypnotic command. And at one point he put him in a deep trance and found out he couldn't speak, but he could write the answers. So here's the way it went. He showed him a page of his diary and asked, is this crazy writing? Yes, 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 Sirhan wrote. Are you crazy? Diamond asked. No, 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 Sirhan wrote. Well, why are you practicing? Why are you writing crazy? Diamond asked. Practice, 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 Sirhan wrote. Practice for what? Diamond asked. Mind control, mind control, mind control is what Sirhan wrote. Now, but here's the guy that did a lot of our work. He's funded by the CIA through the National Institute of Mental Health. CIA gave the money to National Institute of Mental Health, gave the money to Harvard University, gave the money to Jose Delgado, famous neurologist who back in the 50s and 60s did a lot of amazing work. He went before Congress in, I think, 62 or 3, and it's in the congressional record, and he called for a psycho-civilized society in which everybody would have an electrode implanted in their brain, and it would be for the benefit of us all. We'd be wired. And I know a little kid that's 15 years old, and he's a cyberpunk, and he can't wait to have that because he wants to know the baseball scores. He says, why do I have to remember all this? I mean, you know. And there's a stimosiever, transmitter and receiver in the brain of the bull at the right places. And the bull didn't really even attack. That's a puny bull, if you ask me. And Delgado looks like a real chicken, and he's backing up. And he has the cape, but he doesn't have the sword. And he has the radio transmitter. And then the bull gets a certain point, he pushes a button, and the thing goes into reverse. I mean, it was unbelievable. It's when you see it, and you can't get that. And I've seen it even on educational television shows about this. A&E, Investigative Reports, did this. It was called Bad Trip at Edgewood. See that mouse and the cat? That's a famous thing from the 60s. That's the Edgewood Arsenal. We'll come back to the cat. And the headquarters of Edgewood Arsenal, Fort Detrick, Maryland, Institute of Development Research. They started out with monkeys, of course, and they tried everything like gas and injections, and that led to human experimentation. But here's This is a cat on LSD. And this cat is afraid of this these mice, and it keeps leaping away. At one point, and it's in the movie, at one point, the mouse gets brave and attacks the cat. You know, okay, you're going to run, I'm going to charge. But it was unbelievable. It's unbelievable to see that, and that's a famous experiment. They used a lot of LSD up. Of course, they used a lot of LSD up. Of course, they cornered the market. I think they went to Sandoz Labs and bought every existing dose of LSD. This guy, Bill Jordan, is a medical volunteer, and he was a lieutenant colonel. He was probably the highest ranking volunteer, and they thought they were going to get gas or something, you know, like tear gas. And they give him this incredible 100 times the normal dose of LSD. And these guys, now 40 years later, are still walking around having flashbacks and epileptic. So one guy developed epileptic seizures. And if you get a chance, Annie, and of course they gave the guys the physicals before they jabbed them up with things. And God knows, they give them placebos, they give them controlled drugs, different drugs. They gave huge doses, 7,000 men were given between 55 and 1975. 7,000 men were given LSD in these huge quantities. You know, this guy is the Colonel James Ketchum, who was the Army psychiatrist that ran it. Colonel Ketchum revealed to Bill Curtis, who was the anchorman, that they had tested BZ, which puts the test subject into a 3-day stupor, and is followed by memory loss. Interesting. They're interested in anything to do induced amnesia in these days, you know. And one of the test subjects did try to sue the government and got to the Supreme Court and was turned down because of the Federal Tort Claims Act. But the dissenting opinion of the judges compared the Edgewood experiments to the Nazi experiments of World War II. So it is on record for your reference. Colonel Ketchum didn't think at all that serious. He said, "Most of the volunteers thought of it as an interesting adventure. Many of them volunteered to do it again." All right. And while these injections were going on, they were given... other things were being done in Lexington, Kentucky. They were being given... If they took LSD, they were... Lexington is a federal drug rehabilitation. I don't think it's a rehabilitation. I don't think there is rehabilitation in the prison system these days. There's no concept of it. But in those days, I think they still called it a federal rehabilitation project. And they would give them rewards of heroin if they would take LSD and other things. You know? And here's a guy in such a stupor that he can't, sit down even. You know? He's being assisted from the doses. This guy starts out, this is the early on, he starts out playing solitaire, and pretty soon the cards are all over the table, and he's just a mess. And this guy, I think, is counting spiders on the wall that he thinks are there. And... of course, they injected, and this guy is breathing some gas with a measure. They injected gas form. Then they filled a whole room full of BZ or a toxic gas and psychotoxic gas. And then they would put the guy in the suit to see if the suit protected him. And of course, they started out with animals and goats. And this fella says that it made him violent. It changed his personality. And he hasn't had a relationship with his family for 30 years because of it. And of course, that's what they wanted to do. BZ and some of these other drugs were known to produce violent reactions. One of the things that they experimented was PCP, which is angel dust, which is now, you know, a recreational underground illegal drug. This is a group of soldiers walking through a crowd of BZ, and it brings to mind some eerie scenes in a movie I'd recommend you to rent from the video store called Jacob's Ladder. Jacob's Ladder is a movie really about the Buddhist afterlife. The guy's already dead. I shouldn't tell you, give away the story, but he's reliving his life, and he was part of the Army BZ experiment, which did take place in Vietnam. But it was very much like this. It looks very much, they reproduced in the movie the whole feeling of this kind of monstrous experimentation is there, and it's fiction. And Lyman was another medical volunteer. Now, of course, here's Richard Helms, and here he is lying to the President's Commission on the Assassination of President Kennedy, which was one of his first big lies documented. And then he went on to lie to Congress, and that's when he got sentenced to some time for that. And the object was, of course, always influence. Here's from a Defense Intelligence Agency report, task number 7, T72-01-14. Parapsychology can be harnessed to create conditions where one can alter or manipulate the minds of others. This is from Hans Ulrich Gresch. He's a PhD who works in an alcohol rehabilitation program in Germany today. And he was a victim of mind control. He was actually an American, he's an American citizen, but he was born over there of military parents and raised there, and he was used in some kind of mind control experience. And since he's a psychologist, he talks about all those things that you probably talks about NPD and hypnosis and drugs and all the other stuff. And this thing can be found on the internet, and it's probably 40 or 50 pages long. This is Alan Frey's early research when he was with GE, and it's the human auditory system response to modulated electromagnetic energy. In other words, we're going to put voices in your head by remote control from a distance. And that was in the 60s, and there's several other Frey, and Ross Addy is another guy that did the research, Rossadey. He was at California, Riverside, and he did a lot of research on microwave. Modulating microwaves so that you hear a voice from a distance. There's a guy in New Mexico that's in Operation Mind Control that will sell you, like a microwave weapon you can keep in a paper bag. Like, it's about the size of a radar gun. You can buy them now over the counter. Yes, you have a question? Yeah. The question was: is that kind of mind control technology used to discredit the individual, or is it actually used for programming? I would say both. I think the number one thing is programming, because if you take all the technology, drugs, hypnosis, all this electronic stuff, you take it away, the human mind is still the human mind and works the same way. And basically, you can explain that by understanding the subconscious. A lot of it happens over a long period of time. I mean, I don't know about 20 years, but I know of 10 years. It's a two-way feedback thing, and I want to get to that. Well, here's another one: the spontaneous regression. And this was way before the New Age thing of regression, to the past life regression, all the other stuff. So the military and the government were researching this thing. This guy Schneck is no. This was from the State University of New York, the College of Medicine. The CIA project funded this, and they knew damn well what a powerful thing regression was, even if it's just a metaphor. The father of all of this stuff, and the greatest mind about hypnosis, and a guy that also worked for the government, I went and talked to him, and was Milton Erickson. And now it's called Ericksonian Hypnotherapy. How many of you know the work of Milton Erickson? You do. Wonderful. Great. And when you interviewed him, he talked like this. And boy, you could go to trance just talking to this in a warm room, But I liked him a lot. And, of course, he is the main model for what is now called neurolinguistics programming. And this is another, the mind-body thing. He had polio, so he could not interact with people. And he watched how they communicated, and out of that came this beautiful science, which is used in computers. And the use of hypnosis in intelligence and related military situations by Seymour Fisher, 1958, declassified document, CIA document. The use of hypnosis in warfare by Halleck McCord, unclassified, it's in the open literature. Experimental Investigating the Possible Antisocial Uses of Hypnosis by Milton Erickson. Now, Erickson said basically there's no problem to it. All you have to do is manipulate the context. And you can manipulate an individual and get them to do something against their will and without their knowledge. And it was done in the laboratory in the government studies where a soldier was made to attack his commanding officer. And all they had to say was, this is World War II. This guy's a Japanese guy. It's kill or be killed. They didn't know he had a knife in his boot, but luckily there were two armed guards standing by. This is Assassination and Hypnosis, Political Influence. Joseph Berend, 1968, after the Kennedy assassination. People probably began thinking about it. Rewriting the Soul, written by Ian Hacking, Canadian, written by... It's a sociologist, so there's parts of it that aren't correct. But it's really interesting to read this different point of view. And he tells some stories, anecdotes about Colin Ross are pretty good. Elaine Pagels, a friend of mine who did the Nag Hammadi text, and anybody that's had satanic ritual abuse should probably read this book and understand the origin of Satan and understand how deeply rooted it is in our society, Judeo-Christian Aristotelian philosophy. This is Mikey's paper, Mind War. You know Mikey? Anybody know Mikey? Mikey Aquino, yeah. And this is his very own handwriting. It's the headquarters of the Imperial Stormtrooper Force, Office of the Chief of Staff, Mind War Center, Hub 4. And it's the final version of an article going to the Military Review Parameters, which is a war course journal, and the PSYOP community, Psychological Operations Community, the head of which is near my hometown, down in Fort Huachuca, Arizona. Michael Aquino, he was just then a major. And he talks about John Alexander's Military Review and PSYOPs and stuff. And what gave me the creeps is number 11. He cites Operation Mind Control as a source. Boy, did that give me a chill. I contributed to this guy. And here he is when he was reviewed for a possible adverse, they're going to throw him out of the army for molesting children at the Presidio. And he's one of the guys, and of course they couldn't prove he did it, but then they couldn't prove he didn't do it. So they did a weird thing that they can only do in military law, in military courts. They didn't acquit him, but they didn't convict him. They just said, we're going to gather more evidence, and of course they're still gathering evidence. So here he is, a Satanist, a high-ranking guy. He retired from the military. People raise a stink about it, but the Pentagon says, no problem, there's a guy buried in Arlington from the Civil War that's a Satanist. What are you getting? He said, this is freedom of religion. So, we do. And of course, cybernetics, Norbert Wiener, control and communication in the animal and the machine. The father of cyberpunk. And of course, the Russians, these are probably a little bit out of focus. The Russians were, of course, very good at this. And they know what obedience to authority means. And let me tell you a little bit about this guy. This was this is the Soviet. He's a member of the KGB. He's the head guy. His name was Vladimir Zhukov, KGB parapsychologist. He's an adept at telepathic hypnosis, and it's a psychic who was specially trained to use a variety of instruments to affect other people's minds at a distance. If you can believe this, this is part of the history. We're coming to the end. The only success story in the Soviet of that kind of psychotronic warfare is this chess match between Karpov and Korchnoi. And Karpov was the darling young 27-year-old chess champion, and Korchnoi was the former chess champion that had defected to the West. So they wanted to make sure Korchnoi lost. And Korchnoi, after the thing was over, says... he tried to get this guy removed. No, the other guy showed earlier. And he complained. He said, he forced me to make bluffs I didn't want to make. He forced me not to play strong. It was Zhukov and the powers of mind control that led to my loss. And it was a prestigious international victory for Karpov and Soviet parapsychology. Here's a photo of Dr. Karl Nikolaev at work in a laboratory. This is not a crystal ball. It's a psychotronic device which allegedly helps focus the mind in what is called biocommunication. The Soviets took it seriously and developed it to a reliable degree. And of course, our control remote viewing is the same kind of thing where we took something that's been generalized and non-specific and unscientific, and we disciplined it. And here are psychotronic devices. I'm coming to the end here. These are psychotronic devices. That's the way it works. The mind concentrates and spins that little wheel. they demonstrated, and it was from a movie, and it's available from A&E. And of course, Uri Geller did that for Stanford Research Institute, and Ingo Swann. These are psychotronic devices. These are really interesting. Look at them. It's not a dental tool. They're not sculptor tools. They're not kitchen paraphernalia. Yeah, well, I guess. I don't know much about them. They're not Dremel tips, as I understand them. They're used kind of like, sounds to me like they're used like magic wands, is what. But to focus energy, you know, and to direct the mind. Now, the Soviets, this guy's the leading Soviet parapsychologist. So when he would do stuff like that, they were measuring his brain waves so they could duplicate his results. Now, we did similar things. I have too many of these papers to show them all to you, but one of the most interesting studies the United States did was to measure the brain waves of people with multiple personalities, put them into different personalities and measure their brain waves. Each personality has a different brain wave pattern. They then recorded these patterns and sent them to another shrink on the West Coast. They then sent the subject to that shrink and told the shrink, play these signals back. I don't know if they played them I think they played them auditorially. They stimulated and then they gave them notations. They stimulated the personalities by playing back the brainwave signals, and they triggered the personalities. Yes? A little bit. I haven't. Huh? Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. The question is, do I know anything about the Phoenix Project and Preston Nichols and the Montauk Project? Yes, I'm familiar with it, but I don't have really anything to say about it, because I mean you'd have to really get into it, you know. But there's something in one of his books, one of those books. I don't know. He collaborated with a guy named Moon, didn't he? Peter Moon. In that book, I think it was the last book. At the end of the book is a frequency. I think it's 375 megahertz. Is that right? That, I think, I've talked to a lot of people about that. That's worth looking at. You know, because I'm going to get into something that relates to that in a minute. But I'm not going to shoot down or promote anybody's, you know, raw data like that. This is a psychotronic factory where they're making psychotronic weapons in the Soviet Union, and the parabolic mirror looks like it would. For those of you who are, would like, you know, you just concentrate your mind and it focuses out, like, you know, and you can become your own CNN. It's like an amplifier or something. No, I don't know. But no, I'll go back to that if you're interested in that. I don't know what it does. But you know they were seriously doing this, you know. I mean, it's not just, you know, those of you who have experienced some of this stuff are not. So. But these are for you who want to tinker and build your own. Take a look at this one, close up, which I don't know what you can do with it, but try it. And there it is, non-lethal weapons, non-lethal warfare. It's being sold, being promoted in this country for law enforcement, and is the most dangerous step that we can take, you know, that kind of psychotronic weaponry or any of the other non-lethal weaponry, because, and especially since the military people and the law enforcement people will be the first targets of it. The term non-lethal is a misnomer because they are lethal. You know this guy's book, great work if you don't, The Body Electric. Most of the stuff he talks about, Dr. Becker, most of the stuff he talks about is obsolete, however, today already. But it's a must read if you're a serious student of this stuff. And here's the pictures of the transponder. Everybody's claiming about having implants. You know, here's most of the people are claiming that they have them are claiming that they come from extraterrestrial sources. These are terrestrial implants. And you, I'd have to read from the manufacturer. You'd have to read the fine print. If you're really interested, I'll send it to you. But there's a whole catalog of this stuff.